Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We begin on the very top line, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We're discussing still differences between a Ketana's Dirabonin marriage and a Chareshis's Dirabonin marriage. Both of them, as we have talked about in the last couple of days, are only married on a Dirabonin level, but there are differences between the two of them. And here's another difference. Umayshno Ketana di Ochlo Betruma, Umayshno Chareshis the Lo Ochlo Betruma. One of the quirks, if you wish, of the difference between a Ketana and a Chareshis is their ability, the Rabbanon Truma. Neither one can eat Truma Daraisa because neither one is married on a Daraisa level to the Kohen. But normally, a Kohen's wife is allowed to go and eat Truma. That's Truma Daraisa if they're married on a Daraisa level. But here, since it's only the Rabbanon level, the rabbi said, will allow the wife to eat Truma on the Rabbanon level, but not in all cases. Only in the case of the Ketana is she allowed to go and eat Truma with the Rabbanon. Certainly can't eat Truma Daraisa. But by the Chareshis, not only can she not have Truma Daraisa, she's not even allowed to eat Truma with the Rabbanon as the wife of a Kohen. She's a Yisrael herself, a Yisraelis herself, and she married a Kohen. So if it was a full-fledged marriage, she could eat Daraisa. If it's a Rabbanon marriage, by a Ketana, we allow it to eat the Rabbanon Truma, but we don't allow the Chareshis to eat the Rabbanon Truma. Why not? So the Gemara tells us this not, because we have a Mishnah from Gittin and also in Edios, which teaches us, Edios is known for all of these testimonies. So, Heyid Rav Yochanan ben Gudgida, we have the testimony of Rav Yochanan ben Gudgida, who said, Ala Chareshis, about a woman who was married on a Daraisa level, on a Chareshis, she siwa aviha, her father married her off on a Daraisa level, and nevertheless, she is allowed to go out. She's a Chareshis, but she can go out with a divorce. Because, as we've already pointed out previously, midaraisa, a woman can be divorced even bal korcha. So therefore, she can be divorced by her husband, who is a pikeach, even though she's a Chareshis. So she's married on a deraisa level, and nevertheless, she could go out with a divorce, even though she's not capable of accepting a divorce on a deraisa level. But you don't need her permission, at least on the deraisa level. Again, we said midarabanan, we don't allow a woman to be married, to be divorced, the Baal Korcha. And then it says further in this Mishnah, V'al Ketana Bas Yisrael, if a Ketana was married as a Bas Yisrael to a Kohen, she nises le Kohen, she cheles betruma, that she is allowed to eat midarabanan truma. Now, the implication here is only on a derabanan level is the Ketana allowed to eat truma, but the implication is that a Chareshis cannot. V'ilu Chareshis lo ochlo. Since it didn't mention this, it only mentions it by the Ketana, the implication is that by the Chareshis who's married on a Derabbanan level, she would not be allowed to go and eat Truma. Gezeira, the reasoning is, Shemo Yachel Chareshis v'Chareshis, because we're concerned that in a situation where it's not a marriage that was a Daraisa level marriage, so then the wife is certainly not allowed to go and eat Daraisa Truma. So here we're concerned that if we allow the Chareshis to go and eat Truma with the Rabbanan, she may come to go and eat Truma Daraisa. Gezeira Shema Yachel the Chareshis, who's only married to one of the Rabbanan level, may come to give her Truma Daraisa. So Gemara says, no, worse comes to worse, Vilecho. She's not considered a full Bar Das, and therefore, don't we have a rule? Katan Ochel Nevelasu. Now here it doesn't literally mean Katan, it means anybody who's not a Bar Das, so Beis Din is not mechuyev to prevent them from eating nevelos. In other words, you shouldn't give them nevelos, but if they're eating nevelos, you see somebody going and eating something that's not kosher, so you're not mechuyev to go and stop them. Again, we don't allow this to happen, but you're not mechuyev to stop them. So too over here, you're making a gezeira that maybe the Chareshis will feed the Chareshis Truma Daraisa, so even if he does, this whole thing is a gezeira, we don't let the Derabbanan Truma be eaten because she may come to eat Truma Daraisa, Nish Geferlich. Let's say she would eat Truma Daraisa, she's not held accountable. She is not a Bar Das. Shmuel says, nevertheless, Gezer Hashem Yachol Cheresh bepikachas. So we make this Gezer because maybe the Cheresh husband will feed his Pikachas wife Truma Daraisa. So again, that's why we don't allow it. Okay, so that's on a Daraisa level, but why not say in that situation, so at least let her eat Truma D'Rabbanan. After all, the rabbi said that she's married Mi D'Rabbanan, so Hey Mamru, therefore they can also say Hey Mamru, that she can eat Truma Mi D'Rabbanan. So Gemara says no, because again, ultimately we're concerned here. Gezeira duma osi liochlo b'truma d'araisa. If we allow this, it could very easily lead that she would eat truma d'araisa. So therefore, the rabbis made a gezeira over here by the chareishes that we're not going to allow you to eat even truma d'rabbanim because of the potential that someday a pikachas would eat truma d'araisa, and that would be a tremendous takala because she would be michuyeves miso mid'rabbanim. Now the Gemara tells us another difference between a ketana and a chareishes. Umayishno ketana de is lo kesuva, umayishno chareishes de less lo kesuva. The halacha is that a ketana does have a ksuba, whereas the chareishes, the rabbis didn't institute a ksuba for her. How come? Now, normally the din is that you have to go, and a husband and wife, if they wish to live together, they must have a ksuba. It's considered a bilas znus if a husband and wife live together without having ksuba. This has halacha l'maaseh ramifications. Rachman al-Litzlan, if a woman's ksuba is lost, the Rachman al-Litzlan is a fire, and the ksuba is burnt, or the ksuba is lost, they don't know where the ksuba is, so they have to get a new ksuba, or else they can't live together until they get the new ksuba. So, how can you tell us over here that the Chareishes doesn't need a ksuba? Isn't this a bilas nus? So Gemara tells us, no, that that's not a concern over here because the rabbi set up this marriage midrabbanan for the benefit of the Chareishes, and it's in her best interest to get married. And the less additional difficulties you make for her to get married, such as having a ksuba that the husband have to pay off, so then it's going to make it more difficult for her to get married, because the husband's going to say, listen, it's not worth it if it doesn't work out. It's an excellent chance it may not work out, he may say. She's a chareishes, and the husband is a pikeach, so therefore he's going to say, why would I want to get involved in this marriage? And you're going to make it that much more difficult to me than I have to pay her ksuba if it doesn't work out. So therefore, it's actually in the best interest of the chareishes not to have a ksuba, and therefore, since this is a marriage derabbanan, the rabbi said that there is no ksuba, as opposed to the ketana that they did say ksuba. So how come? I explained it a little bit. Where it says, the imkain mimane velo nosve lo, because that would make it more difficult for her to go and find the shidduch, because the normal approach is that the ksuba is to protect the woman, but here the woman is more better off, is better protected, so to say, for getting married by not having a ksuba. But the ketana is different. The ketana, Rashi tells us, lo mimnoi, the asila klaldeya. A person who falls in love with this 11-year-old girl, so it's not going to stop him from marrying her if she has a ksuba. In fact, that will make it more of a permanent marriage, and he won't be so quick to get rid of her without having to pay off a ksuba. But the 11-year-old girl who will become a gedola someday becomes more desirable, and therefore there is no concern over here not to have a ksuba. Gemara says, "Uktana minolon dislo ksuba." So where do we see that the rabbis did institute a ksuba by ktana? So that's based upon the following Mishnah ksubas. Our next mesecta that we're going to be learning in Yitzhak Shem. Ditnan hamima enes v'hashniya v'ha'ilin is these three women. The mamenes, the woman who's married is a ketana and leaves the marriage on her own. She says, that's it, I'm out of here. She doesn't need a get. Bashnia, this is a woman who was in Issa Durabanan to get married. We learned about this in the first days of our Masechta, that these are women that are close in the relationship, like an Erva D'Araisa. So the rabbis instituted, because it's very similar to the Erva D'Araisa, so they prohibited these women who would otherwise be technically midaraisa permitted, so they gave them a restriction midarabana. These are called the shnios larais, vashnia, and likewise an island. It's a woman who unfortunately is incapable of having children. She's not a mature female. There's hormonal problems, some other problem, and she's not able to mature. She doesn't have the signs of physical maturity, and she isn't capable of having children. So all three of these women, ein lohem ksuba. They don't have the right to go and collect a ksuba. They don't normally have a ksuba. However, if in fact a ketana was married and instead of being mamanes, her husband gave her a get, then she is entitled to a ksuba. Aval yotzu beget uketana. She goes out and gets a ksuba even though she's a ketana if her husband divorces her. As opposed to if she leaves the marriage, she's mimaenes, so then she doesn't get a ksuba. But you see clearly from this Mishnah in ksubas that if her husband divorces her, the ketana does have a ksuba. Yesh lo ksuba. Yotzu beget uketana, yesh lo ksuba. Fine. So the Gemara tells us, nu v'chareishes minolon de les l'ksuba. Fine, you showed us that the ketana does have ksuba. Where do we see that the chareishes, the rabbis, did not institute a ksuba for? Granted, we said it's because we don't want her to actually have a deterrent for getting married. This will enhance her chances of getting married, which are already low because she's a chareishes. So where do we see that the rabbis didn't institute a ksuba? The Tanya, because the following brisa tells us, chareish v'shoteh shenosu pikos. If you have a man who's a chareish, or a man who's nebuch, mentally incompetent, he's deranged, he's a shoteh. So then, in that situation, if they marry competent wives, if they marry Pichos, so Afa Pishinis Pakeach HaCheresh V'nishtapo HaShota, even though Baruch Hashem, the Cheresh becomes healed, or he is no longer deranged, and they become now Pichim, so in this situation, Ein Lehem Aleim Klum. So these wives, based upon the original marriage with the Cheresh and the Shota, aren't entitled to Ksuba. Now, if the husband wishes to continue to live with them after he becomes a pikeach, rotzul l'kaima, then yeshlem ksuba and the bachetz mona. Then they have the ksuba like a woman who is a divorcee, like a woman who's already been married, who is not a virgin, and then she's entitled to a ksuba of 100 zuz, a mona, not the normal ksuba of 200 zuz that a virgin would have, which they were when they entered this marriage, but since at this point in time, now is when the ksuba is being entitled to them, so they only get a ksuba of a mana. But they are entitled to a ksuba if the chayrish or shota, who became now normal, they became a pikeach, they were healed from whatever their medical issue was, the chayrish and the shota now are pikeachim, so now the wife would be entitled to a ksuba. So you clearly see that when the husband was a chayrish or a shota, there was no ksuba instituted. Likewise, if the pikeach, shenosa chareishis or shota, wishes to give a ksuba, if a person is a pikeach and he marries a chareishis or a shota, but he wishes to give them a ksuba, then he's allowed to. Afilu kosov lo meyamana. He writes a huge ksuba. So you might have thought he writes a ksuba that is meyamana. Normally ksuba is two mana, and here he gives a ksuba 50 times that, meyamana. So one might have thought that, no, it's not going to be a valid ksuba. No. The ksuba is a good ksuba in this situation. He didn't have to give it, but if he chooses to give it, it is a valid ksuba. As Rashi says, you clearly see from this brisa that the rabbis didn't institute a ksuba for a cheresh marrying a pikachas or a chareshes, or if the pikach marries a chareshes or shota. So then in those situations, there is no ksuba that the rabbis set up. Lo tiknu lo chacham ksuba. Nevertheless, if he chooses to write one, harei ukosav lo, ho uverozul havsiv lios nizok bin chosav, he doesn't mind the financial loss to himself. He's willing to accept this financial loss, this 100 mana ksuba that he's willing to give her kaim. So then Rashi says a perfectly good ksuba. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara over here. That implies, the Gemara says, taimo derotzo, if he chooses to give such a ksuba, it's good. But the obvious implication is, halo rotzo, if he didn't choose to give her a ksuba, then the rabbis never instituted one. Ain law, because as we pointed out, because the woman has a blemish already, that it's going to make it very difficult for her to get married to somebody. She's a chareishes nebuch. So in this situation, the rabbis didn't want to put any additional stumbling blocks in the path of her getting married. And a man will say, listen, I'll take my chances of getting married to her because it won't be a huge financial loss if it doesn't work out. So this is actually to the benefit of the chareishes. And therefore, the rabbis didn't institute a ksuba for the chareishes. More than questions, if this is true, ihachi, so then pikachas l'chareish, when the pikachas marries the chareish, and this situation, it's not to her advantage. She can easily find a shidduch, hopefully. The pikachas has no intrinsic blemishes. So therefore, hopefully, she shouldn't have a tremendously difficult time in finding a shidduch. So in that situation, lisakin lo ksuba. The rabbis should have instituted a ksuba for the pikachas who marries the cheresh, because otherwise, the imkain mimane velo mincevik. Because in this situation, they would actually not want to get married to this chayrish, and it's actually to the chayrish's advantage that since he's going to have a hard time finding a shidduch because of his disability, so therefore the rabbi should have instituted that the woman gets a ksuba because the chayrish will only be too happy to write a ksuba in this situation because it will spur his likelihood of getting married. So for the exact same reason that the rabbis didn't want to write a ksuba for a chayrishes, they should in fact write a ksuba for a chayrish who marries a pikachas to help him get married. So the Gemara tells us a very famous principle, Yoseh Mishel Ish Rotzeh Lisa, Isha Rotzeh Linoseh. This is the way of life. This is the human psychology. Men are always the ones that are reluctant to get married. Women are the ones that are always more interested in getting married. So therefore, even though one can make the argument that it's to the Cheresh's advantage to give the Ksuba, no. When Chayrish is involved, we don't write a ksuba. We feel it's always in the best interest of the woman. She wants to get married. If she can't find a shidduch with a pikach, she may be very happy to have this shidduch with the chayrish, and therefore we don't institute across the board. The rabbis didn't institute a ksuba for a chayrish or a chareshes. Maisa Shoya, how chayrish? There once was a chayrish that lived, the Hava Mishavuse, the Rav Malkiyo, who lived in the neighborhood where Rav Malkiyo was the Rav. Ansevei Itza, this Chayrish married a woman, Rav Malkiyo was the Masada Kedushin, and he instituted a ksuba for the woman. Now, this was a Chayrish who was marrying a regular Pikachas, and normally there would not have been a ksuba, as we just said, but he wrote a ksuba. You're allowed to write a ksuba, and on behalf of this Chayrish, Rav Malkiyo instituted a ksuba of 400 zuz, 4 mona, twice as much as the normal Besula's ksuba. Because of what Arba Meya Zuze Minichse, from the property of this Chayrish, he wrote a ksuba to lien his property for 400 zuz, 4 mona. Why? Amar Rav, Rav said, look how smart Rav Malkiyo was. Man chakin k'Rav Malkiyo degav rabu. Look how smart this Rav Malkiyo was. He's such a great person. He figured as follows, k'sovar. He said, listen, ilu rotzo shivcho l'shamsho milo zavninon le. This Chayrish, if he needed somebody to help take care of his house, he needed somebody to cook for him, clean for him, etc., to go and take care of his household needs, he'd have to pay for that. So just like he would have been very willing to go and pay a certain amount of money to have a woman take care of his house, kol shekein hocha, to have a wife who would not only take care of the house, but also be his companion and be his wife, dikotarte, you have, so to say, both of these aspects, the physical benefits of the marriage include the relationship with the wife from a physical and companionship point of view, as well as the housekeeping duties that she would perform. So since he certainly would have paid for the housekeeping duties, Allah has kama v'kama, should he pay to have a wife. So therefore, Rav Malkiyo decided that this Chayrish, in fact, should write a ksuba for this woman. And Rav praised Rav Malkiyo for this thinking. Okay. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Shmuel, Rav Chiya Barashi said the name of Shmuel, Aishas Chayrish, Rachmona Litzlan, who mistakenly has relations with another man. She's an Aishas Ish, and she unfortunately, there's a mix-up, something happened, and the man thought that this was his wife, and he had relations with her. It turns out that it's not his wife, it was this Aishas Chayrish. So normally we bring a chattas if a person inadvertently transgresses a Isser, such as an Isser Kares, so then you have to bring a chattas. If you're in doubt as to whether you transgressed this Isser, so then you bring an Asham Toli that holds you in limbo until you find out, did you or did you not, Vadai, violate the chattas. If you, in fact, did find out that you violated the Isser chattas, so then you have to bring a chattas. If you find out that you didn't violate it, it turns out that you, in fact, did not do the Isser chattas, then that's it. You're parted from a chattas, and the Asham Toli held you in abeyance. It kept you out of trouble. It atoned for you until you find out. If you never find out, so then the Asham Toli will, until 120, keep the sin in abeyance. You won't get punished for the potential that you did this sin. So Rav Chiya Barashi says in the name of Shmuel that if a person has relations by accident with an Aishas Chayrish, there is no chiyuv to bring an Asham Toli. Why not? So Rashi explains that we're dealing here that there is no possibility even, according to Rav Chiya Barashi Omer Shmuel, that this was a marriage d'oraisa. There is a clear-cut status of this marriage with the Chayrish being only a marriage d'rabbanon, and by violating an Issa d'rabbanon, the Issa d'rabbanon of having relations with the Aishas Ish of this marriage d'rabbanon, is not a chiyuv chattas, and therefore there's no chiyuv of an Asham Toli. So what Shmuel is essentially telling us over here is that this is vadai, not a marriage. You might have thought, Rashi explains, that there's a suffix. Is this a woman who's a bardas? Is this a woman who's not a bardas? Yes, we posken that she's not a bardas, but you might have thought that maybe it is, and therefore this was a marriage that was a daraisa marriage, and therefore maybe he was over in Issa chattas, and therefore he should have to maybe bring an Asham Toli. So Shmuel clearly states no. Rav Chiya Barashi Omer Shmuel says no, that's not the case. And the Gemara says, I'll show you that this opinion of Chiyuv Rashi Omer Shmuel is correct, Lema Masayle, from the following Mishnah that we have in Trumos. The very first Mishnah, those that are doing the Mishnah Yomis, we just started Trumos, we finished the beautiful Masechta of Shemitah, of Shviz, and we just started Trumos, another beautiful Masechta, and Masechta says in the very first Mishnah over there, Chamisha lo yitromu, v'im tarmu, ein trumasum truma. Five people aren't allowed to take off truma l'chatkila, and even if they did take it off, even b'di'evit, it's not considered what they separated as being valid truma. What are those five women? Ve'eluhein. So this is what we're interested in, the Cheresh. And we'll read the rest of the Mishnah now, but the Cheresh is the key factor here that we're interested in right now. A Cheresh, a man who is not a bar das, a shota, a man who's not a bar das because he's deranged, the katan, a child who's not a bar das because he hasn't reached the age of maturity yet. All three of these people, if they were to go and take off truma, it doesn't even count b'dieved. In other words, they have zero das. So it's a vadai that they don't have das. Their truma's not even good b'dieved. Oh, this will be the raya to Shmuel that he says that the Eishes Cheresh is vadai zero das d'oraisa, and therefore there's not even a suspicion that this was a valid marriage d'oraisa. So this is Lema Masayle. This Mishnah in Trumos, the very first Mishnah, seems to be a raya to what Rav Chiya Barashi said Neim Shmuel. Let's finish off the Mishnah, the fourth and fifth category of people, that if they take off Truma, it's not even Truma B'dieved. Vatorim Eseinu Shalom. If you take off Truma from somebody else's property without their permission, you're not a shliach for them, so then it's not Truma. You don't have the right to go and take off Truma for them, even though you're trying to do them a favor. If they're not happy with this and they didn't ask you to do so, so then even B'dieved, that Truma is not Truma. And finally, Ve'ovi Kochavim Shatarim Shal Yisrael, Afil B'rishos Yisrael. And Ovi Kochavim cannot serve as a shaliach. So therefore, even though you ask the Ovi Kochavim, he's doing you a favor. He's doing exactly what you said. By definition, this ain shlichus liakum, and therefore this Ovi Kochavim cannot separate for you truma, and even if he did, he followed exactly what you said, the right amount, the right way, everything, it isn't considered truma. Ain truma, so truma. So, again, the raya to our situation, to Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Shmuel, is you see that the Cheresh is considered zero das, his truma is not even truma b'dieved. So too, the marriage on a derais level is zero marriage derais. It's not even a suffix that maybe there's das there, and therefore the person who Rahman al-Islam inadvertently has relations with such an Eishes Cheresh would not be chayev achatas, and therefore it's not chayev en oshum toluy. Shmuel says this is lav dafka araya, because maybe Shmuel holds as follows. Who the Amma Karabi Elazar. In fact, Shmuel holds like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. What is that? That's the following price of the Tanya. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yitzchak said the name Rabbi Elazar. Trumas Cheresh Lo Teitzei L'chulin. If a Cheresh did take off Truma, we make them take Truma again. However, that Truma that they took off, that the Cheresh took off, isn't Chulin. It is considered Sofek Chulin, because maybe the Cheresh has Das, and maybe the Cheresh doesn't have Das, but Neishu Sofek. And therefore, maybe, in fact, Shmuel says, like this opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and he disagrees with the Mishnah in Trumos, and would say that the Cheresh who took off Truma, b'dieved, it is Truma. So too, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel, would say that maybe the Cheresh does have Das, and therefore, you should bring an Ashim Toli. So the Gemara says, then how come you don't bring an Ashim Toli? So then, this, if you're telling me that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar, so then his statement should be that you have to bring an Ashim Toli. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe Shmuel is of the opinion, you know what, there's a big machlokus about when you bring an Ashim Toli. One opinion states that you bring an Ashim Toli whenever you're in doubt, did you or did you not do the Issa Daraisa? So let's say you have a piece of chalev in front of you. You don't know if it was chalev or it was shuman. It was one piece and you ate it. So in that situation, there is an opinion that says you bring an Ashim Toli until you find out whether that was a piece of chalev or it was a piece of shuman. Chalev, of course, is prohibited with the Issa of Kares, and you have to bring chatas for it if you ate it inadvertently, and shuman is heter gomer to eat. So in this situation where there's only one piece there, for example, the Gemara will give us a koi, which we're not sure is the chalev of a koi, Asr, or is the chalev a koi mutter, because we're not sure if a koi is considered a behemah or a chaya. Behemah's chalev is asr, a chaya's chalev is mutter. So that will be the case we'll give in a moment. But right now, we're just saying, if you have one piece in front of you, there is an opinion that says that you're chayev in Ashim Toli. But then there's another opinion that says the only time you're chayev in Ashim Toli is that there are two pieces in front of you, one chalev and one shuman. And you ate one of them, but you don't know which one you ate. And it's impossible to tell afterwards from the remaining piece, or somebody else ate the remaining piece, whether you ate the chalev or whether you ate the shuman. Only in that situation does this opinion hold that you bring an Ashim Toli. It's only when you ate one of two that you bring an Ashim Toli. But if you ate one of one, and you just don't know what that one was, this opinion holds you don't bring a Ashim Toli. Now, maybe, in fact, Mara now says, Umi boy, Rabbi Lozer, chaticha, mishtei chatichos. If you're going to tell me that Shmuel holds like Rebbe Lazar, and Rebbe Lazar holds over here that there are shtei chatichos, and that's why in this situation you're chayav in oshem toli. But when there's a woman married to a cheresh, and the only question is, it's one cheresh over here, and the question is, does he or does he not have das? Maybe Rabbi Elazar would hold that you don't bring an oshem toli in that situation, and that's why Rechiv Barash Amar Shmuel said you do not chayav in oshem toli. It's because it's an example of one chaticha and not two chatichos. So if you're telling me that Shmuel holds like a Lazar, so maybe in this situation, by the Eishes Cheresh, who Nebuch has relations with somebody, the man who does so doesn't bring an Oshem Tali because it's like one Chaticha. And Rebbe Lazar holds only by Shtei Chatichos. So he says that's incorrect. Umi by Rebbe Lazar, Chaticha b'Shtei Chatichos. Does Rebbe Lazar hold like that opinion that he have to only bring an Oshem Tali if it's one of two? No. Rebbe Lazar holds even if it's one of one, and you just don't know what the status of that one is, you also bring an Oshem Tali. Because Vatanya, it says Beferish in the following Brisa that Rabbi Elazar's opinion is Rabbi Elazar Omer Koi. Again, Koi is an example of a kosher animal, but we're not sure if it's a behema, which has an Isser of eating the Chalev, or it's a Chaya, one of the seven Chayos that the Chalev is permissible. So this Koi, Chayavin al Chalbo Oshem Toli. Rabbi Elazar says you are Chayav if you eat the Chalev of a Koi. It's one suffix. It's, is this a behemoth? Is this a chayah? It's one chaticha. And yet he says, yechayv in oshem toloi. So you can't tell me that Rebbe Elazar's opinion is, yibayin on shtei chatichos. His opinion is, you clearly only need one. So how can you not tell me that this is a good raya? Shmuel must hold like the Mishnah and Trumos, because he can't hold like Rabbi Elazar. Shmuel says, lav dafka. Maybe Shmuel sovak Rabbi Elazar b'chada, in that he holds that the marriage of Cheresh is in fact a suffix marriage. Because, in fact, maybe he does have das. Just like by Truma, we say that the Truma that the Cheresh took off is Truma, albeit you have to go take Truma again. You have to be Mafresh Truma again to take care of the possibility that he doesn't have das. So, too, by the marriage, you should have to bring an Oshem Tali if you hold like this opinion of Rabbi Elazar. But no, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar, in that Rabbi Elazar holds that one Chaticha is enough to bring an Oshem Tali. In fact, he holds Bo'in Chaticha, Mishtei Chatichos, to bring an Oshem Tali. So that's why Rabbi Elazar's opinion is partially agreed to, but partially not agreed to. So he agrees, like Rabbi Elazar, that the Cheresh maybe is a Sofik Das, Sofik not Das. And therefore, he doesn't hold like the Mishnah. Shmuel doesn't necessarily accord with the Mishnah and Trumos that says the Cheresh has no Das. And therefore, one would have thought that he should bring an Oshem Tali, but no, he holds that the opinion that you have to have one of two in order to bring an Oshem Tali. And here, it's only one of one. We just don't know. Is the Eishes Cheresh married Darais or not? Because it's a suffix, whether he has Das, and therefore, in this situation, Shmuel would hold that you don't bring an Oshem Tali. So bottom line is, we don't have a Raya from the Mishnah and Trumas as to Shmuel's opinion. Mari now has an Ikud the Amri that asks this question from a different point of view. Vika Diamre, there was Amar Chia bar Ashi Amar Shmuel. He said that Aishas Cheresh Chayavim Alea Oshem Toli. In fact, the statement of Shmuel was that you are Chayav in Oshem Toli. And the word says, wait a second, Mesve, what about the Mishnah and Trumos Chamisha Lo Yitromu, which says that a Cheresh doesn't have Das, so it's Vade not having Das? How could Shmuel go against the Mishnah? Oh, so the answer is, Sova Loki Rabbi Elazar. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. And in this way, holds totally like Rabbi Elazar, that in fact, you have to bring an Oshem Toli even for a Chaticha Achas, and that's why Shmuel said in this situation, it's a suffix whether the Eishes Cheresh is married the Reis or not, because maybe the Cheresh has Das, maybe it doesn't, and even though it's only one suffix over here, it's Chaticha Achas, but he holds a Rebbe Elazar that says that you bring an Oshem Tali even for a single Chaticha, you don't require Shtei Chatichos. Oh, according to this Ikud Yamre, Shmuel definitely holds like Rabbi Elazar. Mori now questions Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Boy, Ravashi asks, my time with Rabbi Elazar, what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar to say that the Cheresh possibly has Das? Do we say, Mifsha Pshitalei the Cheresh Daito Kalishtahu? Does Rabbi Elazar hold that the Cheresh's Das is a very weakened Das? Umiyu, nevertheless, Mesafkalei, his Sofik is, he agrees that the Cheresh doesn't have full-fledged Das. But the Sofik about the Cheresh is as follows. He, Rabbi Elazar, is Mesafkalei, I Daito Tzilusa. Is his das clear? And we turn to Kuf Yudim Lamed Beis. Oh, ilav daita tziluso, or his das is not clear. In other words, how much potential he has. So it's definitely not a full das. But uli olam chada daitu, it's always the same. It doesn't change. He always has this das, this klishta, but it's always the same. Whatever das he always has that das at all times. And therefore, he always has this consistent weakened das. La'olam chodadaito. Or do we say, Odomo, pshitale, it was clear to Rabbi Elazar, the daito klishta, that he has this weakened das. However, the lav daito tziluso, but it's not always the same. And therefore, the hocha hainu time, and the reason for Rabbi Elazar is, given the itim cholav, the itim shota, you have to be concerned that maybe at the moment that he gave the kedushin, he was actually a full das. Because the other times, he's like a shota, he has no das. But it's not the same level of das all the time. So what is Rabbi Elazar's reasoning? He holds that it's a weakened das at all times, or is it sometimes a full das and sometimes not a full das? So he's sofek over here, what he did, whatever action he did, at that point, was he a full das or was he no das? No, what difference does it make whether you say that he holds that there's always, let's say, a 0.5 das, or whether you say sometimes it's a 1.0 das and sometimes it's a 0 das? What difference does it make? The bottom line is, he's a sofek. Someone says, no, the big difference would be if this cheresh married a woman, lahotzi ishto beget. If you say that it's constantly one similar das, it's always a 0.5 das, so then, just like he got married with a 0.5 das, he can divorce the woman with a 0.5 das, it's always the same level of das. And therefore, the nafkamina would be, lotzi ishto begeit, iyamres chodo daitu, if it's always that 1.5 das, it never changes, so just like he got married, he can get divorced, kikidushin kach gerishin. However, if you're going to tell me, the Amrist, that sometimes he has a 1.0 das, and other times he has a 0 das, so then, oh, we're in trouble. The Amrist, itim cholim, sometimes he's perfectly healthy, has a perfectly clear das, itim shota, but other times he has no das, so then you have to be concerned. When he did the Kedushin, motzi b'kadesh, he had full das, and now you want to do the Gerushin, he has no das, so Gerushin lo motzi megarish, and therefore you have to be concerned, and it's not one level das across the board, and therefore, the nafkamina would be, if you say it's one level low das across the board, he could divorce his wife. But if you say that it's an alternating, sometimes higher level of das, sometimes no das, so then he wouldn't be able to divorce his wife because maybe he doesn't have the same das he had when he was Makadishur. How do we paskin? My Gemara says, take it. We're not sure. We don't have an answer. Gemara continues and tells us the Mishnah, nishtates, we said, if the woman was originally a pikachas, and then she became a shota, so then the halacha is you're not allowed to go divorce a shota midirabbanan. On the rice level you can, and on the rabbanan level you can, because we said we're concerned she'll have a minog hefker about her. She won't be able to control herself. She will unfortunately become promiscuous, and therefore when she's under the domain of her husband, that won't occur. Therefore, we don't allow her to be divorced on the rabbanan level. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Dvar Torah Shota Miskel Reshes, as we just said, on a Daraisa level, the Shota can get a divorce, because Midi Dahavia Pikachas Baal Karcha, just like you can divorce a woman, even if she's a Pikachas against the will on a Daraisa level, so too you can divorce this Shota, who's unfortunately a Shota, but you can divorce her against the will, so even if she has no Das, not a problem. Why did the rabbi say you can't? As we pointed out, the rabbi said, here, we better put in a Gzeira. If this woman who's a shota gets divorced, she's going to be hefker. Everybody's going to never commit various sorts of isurim with her, and therefore to protect her, to protect Klai Yisrael, we don't allow her to get divorced. Mar says, what are we talking about over here? The Revisa says that we're concerned over here that she won't be able to protect herself. Why? Hechidami. If you're telling me that she still has enough das, she's a sota, she's deranged, she does certain things wrong, but she knows how to say, I have a get, and she knows how to say, listen, you can't touch me, I'm not interested in having relations with you. So if she's of that level, functioning, so me no ago, but me no kefka, then we don't have any concern that people will take advantage of her and act in a promiscuous manner with her. So in that situation, if she has that much das, that she's shomeres gita and shomeres atzma, so then the rabbis wouldn't have made such a gzera, and she should be able to be divorced. Follow the din d'oraisa. I must be Elo, the Enu das lishmor lo gita lo atzma. You're telling me that she's such a shota that she doesn't know how to protect her get, and doesn't know how to protect herself, so then, even on the Raisa level, Dvar Torah, Shota Miskoreshes. So how can you tell me that a Shota is divorceable on the Raisa level? Well, Omar, Devei, Rebbe Yannai, the Beis Medrash Rebbe Yannai, they said that the Torah tells us that you can only divorce a woman that it can accept her get. The Torah tells us that the woman has to be able to accept the get in her hands, has to come into her possession. So Mishi Yesh Lo Yad Degorish Atzmo, only a woman who has such a hand, she has a hand that she can accept the get. So Midaraisa, this excludes Yosloshe Lo Yad Degorish Atzmo, then on a derais level, somebody who cannot accept the get is not able to be divorced. And the Torah of the Rabbi Yishmael, v'shulcha mi beiso, it has to be, by definition, somebody who can accept the divorce is somebody that will leave his house. And therefore, misha mishalcha v'enu chazeres, a woman who is divorced knows to leave the husband's house and not return. But that would exclude somebody that doesn't understand that. Yosu she mishalcha v'chazeres. As opposed to the woman, she's divorced, she says, okay, she goes to the store and then she goes back home and doesn't have any idea that she's divorced. So, again, midirabbanon, why would they make such a gzeira that they shouldn't hold the minokefka? If she's of enough potential that she won't let them treat her in a promiscuous fashion, so then why would the rabbis make such a gzeira? And if she's of the potential that they will treat her with a minokefka, so then midiraisi, not allowed to divorce. It's not a dindirabbanon. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, you need the gzeira dirabbanon, shelo yinhagu b'minokefka, where there's a little bit more das, but not enough das. What do we mean? The odas lishmagita. She has enough das to know, yeah, this is a divorce, this is an important document. However, the any odas lishmaratzva, but she doesn't have enough das to go and not be promiscuous. And therefore, divar Torah, shota miskaresha, such a shota who can be shomeris her get, she doesn't fall into the category of ishulcha mibeso and mishalcha v'choseres, so she doesn't fall into that category, so she does have the yad to go accept her get, so on a derais level, she could be divorced. However, in that situation, and only in that situation, do you das lishmor gita, where she knows how to go and protect her get, so to say, but where she doesn't know how to protect herself. So then, in that situation, the rabbis instituted this gzeira derabbanan not to allow her to be divorced. Because she only has a partial das to understand that she has a get, so she's shomeris her get, but she isn't shomeris her body. She doesn't understand that she shouldn't be promiscuous. So therefore, the rabbis instituted the gzeira in that situation. Amar Abaye says, Daikanami, if you read the Mishnah very carefully, you see that this is a correct understanding. Why? Because Diktoni Gabi Dida, in regard to the woman, it says that if she was a Pikachas and she became a Shota, Nishtatis Lo Yotzi. Period. It just says you shouldn't be motzir, implying on a derais level you could, and the rabbis instituted midirabbanan that you can't. But by the man who was originally a piker and then he became a shoteh, so then the gabi didei, the man whose status changed, it says lo yotzi ol or miss. He's never allowed to divorce her. In other words, that implies on a derais level. So why does it use the term over here, olamis? Maishtahach or diktoni olamis? Or maishtahasom, the loktoni olamis? Why by the man does it say olamis, by the woman it doesn't say olamis? Ah, elishmamino, that's the whole implication here. Hodaraisom and the rabbanon. But then the man who's a shota, he doesn't have das to divorce her. So that's lo olamis means he, on the derais level, can't divorce her. And here when we say that lo yotzi, he shouldn't be motzi, his wife with a get, who's a shota, so that's midirabbanon. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Amar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri v'chule. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri said, how can you, Tanakama, make a difference between the Chereish, who can not divorce his wife, and the Chereishis, who can be divorced? So Rav Yochanan ben Nuri seems to be asking the Tanakama this question. So, the Gemara says, Iboy Elohu, they asked in the Beis Medrash, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, how does he hold? Does he say, Ish, it's clear to him that a man who's a cheresh doesn't have das to divorce his wife who he married on a deraisa level. And the only question that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is asking is, v'isha, what about a woman coming by a lay? And can this woman who became a cheresh be divorced or not? That was his question to the Tanakhama. Or do we say Oduma? No, Isha Pshitle. It was clear to him that the woman is allowed to be divorced because Baal Korch is allowed. And his only question was, what about the man, v'ish coming by a lay? He was questioning the Tanakhama regards to the halacha by a man. So it says, okay, let's try to answer this question with the following brisa. Toshma, midikamrei lei, from the response that the rabbis in our Mishnah said to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and they said, no, eino domo isha megarish leisha miskoreshes. No, the man who's divorcing is different than the woman who's being divorced, in that shayisha yotzis l'ritzona, v'shalo l'ritzona, that the woman can be divorced bal korcha, whether she wishes to accept the divorce or she doesn't wish to accept the divorce, the woman midoraisa can be divorced bal korcha, as opposed to vayish, the man, in a motzi l'ritzona. You can only divorce somebody if you're the badas, and you wish to divorce her. You can't divorce a woman against the man's will. And therefore, shma mina, ish koma boile. So therefore, let us answer the question that we asked. What is Rav Yochanan ben Nuri unsure about? Was he unsure about the man, or was he unsure about the woman? Let us say, shma mina, ish koma boile. He was saying the status of the man is the question involved. Gemara says, no, absolutely the opposite. Adrabba, pum fakert. Midikar mule, what did the Chachamim respond back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Anuri? They said, avzu kayotzi ba. They said, the following case is exactly like this. And that was, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah said that a woman who was married on a deraisa level by her father is a ketana, and she's a chareishah, so she can be divorced on a deraisa level, even though she's a chareishah. So, therefore, since their response to Rav Yochanan ben Anuri was Avzu Kayotzi Bo, so that comes to teach us, Shlamino Isha Koma Boile. From their response, they're seemingly answering from regards to the point of view of the woman case, so therefore, maybe that's what Rav Yochanan ben Anuri is talking about. Someone says, you're right. That's incorrect understanding of what Rav Yochanan ben Anuri was saying. What was Rav Yochanan ben Anuri really saying? Ella, Rav Yochanan ben Anuri, the Divreiim Karmelhu. Rav Yochanan ben Anuri was saying, according to your opinion, Chachamim, there's a stira in what you're saying. He says, Lady, according to me, ki hechad yish lo motzi megarish, yish anami lo megarisha. I hold across the board that just like a man can't divorce a woman, who, if the man is a chayrish, he can't divorce his wife, so too I hold that if the woman is a chayrish, she can't be divorced. That's my opinion. But according to you, Ella did who? Why would you make such a distinction between a man and a woman? Maishna ish or maishna ish? Why do you distinguish with a chayrish who is not allowed to divorce his wife as opposed to a chayrish who can be divorced? Why should you make such a distinction? Lididi again, according to me, Rabbi Yochanan ben Anuri, I say they both can't divorce. So I'm perfectly consistent across the board. But why do you make a distinction? A man, no. A woman, yes. So I'm related to the Chum responded, because ain't no domo ish, hamagarish la ish, hamiskareshis. Because there's a fundamental difference between the man who cannot divorce against his will, so he has to have das, as opposed to the woman who can be divorced even bal karcha and doesn't require her ratzon. Then we quote the next part of the Mishnah, Ahid, Rabbi Yochanan Chule, this is Rabbi Yochanan Gudgudah, and he testified that if the woman who was a chareishis was married off by her father as a marriage deraisa when she was a child, so when she was a ketana, she's a chareishis, who was a ketana, and the father married her off, that's a marriage deraisa, nevertheless, she could even be divorced even though she's a chareishis. Amar Rava, Rava says, Me'eduso she Rabbi Yochanan Gudgudah, from this statement that Rabbi Yochanan Gudgudah made, we see that if a man were to say to two witnesses, listen, I'm going to divorce my wife, and here's the get that I'm going to divorce with. I want you to know that this is a get, and I'm intending to divorce my wife with this get. Ru gets that. See this get? Shani no sin, which I'm about to give to my wife. It's a get, and my intention is to divorce her. But then he goes and tells his wife in front of these Edim, Yomala, kim si shtar chovzeh. As we'll see, he's embarrassed to divorce his wife, and he tells her, listen, take this shtar chov, this IOU, and accept it. I'm giving you a present, an IOU. So, in this situation, as soon as she accepts it, harezu megureshes. Even though she didn't realize she was accepting her get, the fact that she took this shtar chov, in her opinion, but it really was a get, and this man told the witnesses, listen, it's not a shtar chov, it's really a get, so therefore, they're witnessing the mesira of the get, harezu megureshes. This woman is, in fact, divorced. So Rava says, based upon Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah, who just taught us that the woman doesn't require das, you can even divorce about karcha. So even though she accepted this with the understanding that it was a shtar chov, since it was in fact really a get, she is divorced. So the Rava says, Mi lo amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah, lo bo'in and daita, hachanami lo bo'in and daita. Based upon Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah said that you don't require das to divorce the woman, so too. She had no das over here, so she is divorced anyway. The Rava says, Pshita, this is obvious. What's Rava telling us? It's so obvious that if you don't need das, so of course she's divorced, Baal Karcha. So of course, even though she thinks it's a shtar chov, she should be divorced. She wants to know, there's a big chiddush over here. Ma'al de tema, you know what I might have said? Mi da amar lo kinsti shtar chovze. Since he's saying to her, this is a shtar chov, you might have thought that that uproots the fact that it's a get. Since he says, except the shtar chov, bitule batle, I might have thought that he's saying, no, I'm not giving you a get, and therefore it's not with his das. So Kamash Shalom, Rava's telling us that the big chiddush over here is that in this situation, he would have told the Edim that I don't intend to go and give this as a get. I'm just giving her a hard time, or I'm just giving her a shtar chov. But since he told the Edim, no, this is a get, he's basically saying, I'm about to say something that's not true, that this is a shtar chov, but I don't mean it. I'm intending to give it to her as a get. Lo batle below midi. He's basically telling the Edim that I'm not nullifying it. That's the chiddush, the rubber, that even though he says this is a shtar chov, he told the Edom that I'm not nullifying what I'm saying, that we follow that, and the get is a good get. Why did he tell his wife, this is a shtar chov? Again, as I mentioned before, the kamar, the gears that we have is law, but it should be law. He's embarrassed to divorce her. No, she's been a good wife, and now he's, for whatever reason, he's divorcing her. So he's embarrassed to tell her, here's your get. So he gives her the shtar chov and runs away. And then when she opens it up, she sees it's not a shtar chov, she sees a get. He did his not nice deed, but it counts, it's chal, because the bottom line is, midoraisa, Yochum Agudah tells us, you're allowed to divorce a woman, bal korcha. Again, lamaisa, we don't allow this. We don't allow a woman to be divorced today, bal korcha. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.